have the opportunity to do so. As we continue in our lives here on earth, we strive our best to continue faithfully in the service of God. And as we go forth and try to shine our light to the world, continue to try to help point out what the scriptures say. One of the hardest things to overcome, even after overcoming, after obeying the gospel, is acknowledging our faults. Some things that we often struggle with is just simply acknowledging that we have sinned. And to become a Christian is something that you have to do. You have to acknowledge that you have fallen short. You have to acknowledge that you have sinned. And as we continue our lives here on earth, and once you've obeyed the gospel, it doesn't mean that you won't ever fall short again. And so, and lots of times we get caught up in trying our best to walk that faithful path. There also comes a time in which we have to be willing to acknowledge that we have fallen short and acknowledge that we need the help of God, that we need strength through Christ, that we need our brethren to be there for us. And so I just want to go through and point out a few scriptures that just show us that we do have to be willing to confess our sins to our Lord, go to our God in prayer, and to seek Him.
The sky shall unfold.
Start off with the points is that we all have sinned. And as we turn to Romans chapter 3, verse 23, if you will, Romans chapter 3 and in verse 23, as it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I mean, it makes it plain and clear in the short passage. It makes it to that point that we have all sinned and fallen short. Everybody. There's not a person in this room. There's not a person in this city. There's not a person in this world that has not sinned. And we can go forth and, of course, point out those who are too young to truly acknowledge right from wrong and understanding and point out that they have not sinned because they don't know right from wrong, evil from righteous, and to understand the will of God, to be able to read and concept those things. But to everybody who's got to that point, and as they search the scriptures, they will search the scriptures and find verses that go forth and show that we have all sinned. Now, it doesn't mean we've all done the same sin or we've all sinned and to the point of committing all the sins. But we have all sinned at one point or another. We all have our struggles in which we have fallen short. Again, in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 22. Galatians chapter 3 and in verse 22. As it reads here, it brings out, it says, but the scripture imprisoned everything under sin so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. And so other translation there would be confined all under sin. And so as we look here again, the scriptures, as it goes forth and makes the point that we've all sinned. From the time that Adam and Eve, the first two people that was placed upon this earth, this creation of God, they sinned. And since they sinned, our mind and knowledge of good and evil has come to understanding. And therefore, our desires get caught up in fleshly desires, and we commit those things and give in to it, and we end up sinning. Everyone has struggled with overcoming temptation. And again, that's not an excuse to sit here and say, well, you know, so the grace may abound, we continue in sin. We certainly do not want to continue in that. But to get up and stand and say that I have not sinned, that I have no sin in my life, would be called our God a liar. We see that here in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, reading verse 8, it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And again, verse 10, it says, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And so here it is, just again, it goes forth and tells us that if you even try, if you try to go through your life and you say, well, I have no sin. I have not sinned. I have never sinned. Then we are going forth and saying we don't believe what the scriptures have to say. We're going forth and saying that God is a liar. You know, basically how it is when I go to my kids and one kid says he said did this, the other kid says he didn't, and so the other one kid says he's a liar, right? And so we're basically saying, God said I sinned, but God, you're wrong. I have never sinned. We're making him a liar. Because he's put us all over sin. So we have to come to that understanding. We have to be willing to admit it. And again, admitting our wrongs is something hard to do. To come forward and to acknowledge and say, hey, I handled the situation wrong. Hey, I made a mistake. It's hard. It's when most of the times we get caught up in lying. As brought out here, lying to one another, lying so that, because we just are not willing to acknowledge it, or willing to, we know that there's consequences to whatever we did wrong, and so we're just not willing to admit it. And so we get caught up here in lying. We have to be willing to confess our faults, to acknowledge that we have done wrong. Others might get caught up again and trying to push this off further and saying that, well, I might have sinned, but it's not as bad as others. I have sinned, but it doesn't really matter because it's not like I look like these people over here. Because in Matthew chapter 7, if you will, in Matthew chapter 7, and you read along with me here, starting in verse 1. Matthew 7, starting in verse 1, it says, judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but you do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So here it brings out that point of once we get so caught up and we focus on what other people are doing and we miss the fact that we are in sin also. We miss the point that there is correction that needs to be done or on our end. Again, as it brings out in these verses, it doesn't say that there isn't a speck. There isn't something that your brother or sister in Christ does not need to make right and to repent of and maybe seek forgiveness of. It says there is a speck there. But to see clearly, to help correctly, to do your part, you have to look at yourself and rid yourself of sin. Which means we have to come to that point of acknowledging that we have faults. That we fall short. Another example in Luke chapter 18. In Luke chapter 18, if you will, in verse 9. Luke 18, and reading here and in verse 9, it says, he also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I get, but the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. As these two men, and gives the example, the one gets caught up again. He wants to point out, well, I'm not like other men. Josiah's class, when he was going over his lesson this week, getting prepared for Bible class this morning, he had one spot in the questions. Don't know if they got to this part yet or not, or if they're covering it Wednesday. But in the one spot of their class, they went through and it listed sins and says, list the sins in order of what you think from greatest to worst. It's interesting to see how he went about trying to list those. And I looked down and was like, it's kind of a trick question to you, Joe. But it's also interesting how far down he put murder. So, you know. But at the top of the list was lying, so I was kind of correct. Yeah. He's learned lying is not a good thing, and I do not like it at all. But it's as you look at it, but to a point, again, sin, whatever sin it is going to keep you from getting to heaven. We want to do that. We want to list it and say, well, this, I'm not that murderer. I'm not a thief. I'm not an adulterer. And so I'm pretty good. But are we liars? Are we coveting? Are we jealous? Are we always angry and show wrath to others? Are we kind? Are we hospitable? There's so many things that we can be looking at, asking, are we keeping the commandments? Are we doing what we're supposed to be doing? Are we keeping all the sin off of us? And therefore, there's always things in which we need to be improving in and growing in the grace and knowledge of the truth of God. And we can't sit back and say, oh, at least I'm not like these people over here. Which, yes, it's good that you're not an adulterer. It's good that you're not a thief. It's good that you're not doing these sins. But then that means you need to be praying about the things you do struggle with. Cursing, swearing, whatever it may be. Seeking God's forgiveness for those and strength to overcome the sin that you do struggle with. Because we all struggle. And if we go to the Lord exalting ourselves because you come to church every Sunday, because you make sure you put something in the collection, and because you're not one of these big sinners, He tells us He will humble us. And so we have to be willing to acknowledge our sins. We have to be willing to confess our sins. And it's not in the manner that you have to come forward to confess your sins to a certain person in order. Talk about confessing our sins to our Father. Going to God in prayer. Let Him be the one to forgive you. I cannot forgive your sins. And so we see, going back to 1 John chapter 1 and in verse 9. 1 John chapter 1 and in verse 9. As we looked at verse 8 and we looked at verse 10, telling us if we try to say we have no sin, then we make God a liar. But in verse 9 it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So you go from a point of trying to say you have no sin, which making you sin even more and making calling God a liar, to the point if you're willing to admit that you've done wrong, willing to humble yourself and say, God, I make mistakes, then you can be a person without sin. Because He is just and faithful and willing to forgive you of your sins and make you white as snow once again. Coming back to God. Again, you go back to those verses that we read earlier, going back to Galatians and going back to Romans, and you read the following verses that follow along with those. Again, it leads to the point of God's forgiveness through Christ. All have sinned, and what? Well, then God can forgive us through Christ. The Scripture says put us all under sin so that what? So that the sacrifice of Christ can forgive us. And so we have to be willing to acknowledge our faults. We have to be willing to go to God and seek His forgiveness. We have the example of David, and in many of his psalms, he makes a few of his psalms, he makes these points that he has sinned. He acknowledges it to God. And we know as we've recently studied the life of David that he was forgiven of these sins. And so we read it here, Psalm 32, and in verse 5, as it says, and let me get the psalm. Psalm 32 and verse 5 says, I acknowledge my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. And again, this is going back to that prayer of saying, well, I'm not an adulterer. Well, David was an adulterer. I'm not a murderer. Well, David sent someone to his death. I'm not a liar. Well, he was trying to lie and cover up this whole sin the whole time. Guess what? He confessed his sins. He acknowledged his fault. And he was forgiven. He was able to continue to serve as the king. He was able to continue to lead Israel in the path that God needed them to go down. And so we have to be willing to acknowledge our faults. In Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13. It says, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confess and forsake them will obtain mercy. So here, again, here it brings out, if you're going to hide your sin, if you're going to try to cover it up, and just in mindset that no other person here knows what I have done, no one at home knows what I have done, no one in the city knows, it was done in secret. God knows. God knows what you have done. God knows all things. And in the end, it will be brought out. So we have to acknowledge, we have to be willing to admit our faults. And if it's a secret sin, then go to God in prayer on your own. Ask Him for His forgiveness. Ask Him for strength. But if it's something you've continuously struggled with, then bring it to your brethren. Let us help you. I'll bring that out here in just a minute. But another part of confessing our transgressions, again, it's something you have to do to become a Christian. To truly become a follower of Christ is to acknowledge that you have sinned and fallen short. That's the reason that you come forward to be baptized. Because as we go to Acts 2 and verse 38, and we see when they were cut to the heart after hearing that they had crucified the Son of God, the Christ, the Messiah, they asked, What can we do? What shall we do? Peter answered to them, repent, every one of you, and be baptized for what? For the forgiveness of sins. Why are we getting baptized if we think we can live the perfect life? If we can overcome all temptation and not sin and have no transgressions in our life, then there's no need for it. You're good to go. But in order to have forgiveness of sins, you have to be baptized. Understand, anyone who has been baptized has acknowledged they have sinned, and they needed the forgiveness of God. They needed that sacrifice of Christ. They needed the blood of the Lord to be shed. And so we have to acknowledge that we have sinned. We have to be willing to humble ourselves and ask God for His forgiveness, to plead and thank Him for His sacrifice. As brought out, as getting to just a second ago, we can also come to our brethren. This is not to come to them seeking forgiveness of sins, because only God can forgive our sins. But coming to them so that they can pray for you and be there for you, assist you and help you overcome these temptations, to pray with you, to study with you, anything that we can do to help one another. And so we have the example here in James chapter 5. And it's supposed to be verse 16 here. Verse 16, it says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Again, here's another command in which we are to admit our faults and our struggles to one another. We are supposed to be a family that helps one another. We are supposed to be there for each other. We're supposed to have that kind of a relationship, that kind of love, that kind of care, that kind of understanding. The understanding that we've all sinned, so we're going to be understanding when someone says, hey, I've been struggling with this issue. Because you yourself have struggled with sin. Because I have struggled with sin. And so therefore, I'm not going to sit up here and judge somebody. Especially if they had the courage to come forward and acknowledge that they struggle. The courage to come forward before all the brethren and ask for their help. The faith that they have in their brethren to not sit there and judge them, to mock them, to gossip, but rather to be there to help them, to strengthen, to encourage and build them up. And to pray for them. We have to be willing to confess our faults, to admit that we have fallen short. That way we can grow and come back stronger. And that way we can be there to help others when they need help also. I don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation this evening. If there are any here this evening that have not obeyed the gospel, but you know who the Lord is, Another confession you have to make is be willing to confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Confess that you acknowledge that He died and resurrected for your sins so that you can be added. So if you're willing to do that tonight, you're willing to acknowledge that you have sinned and you need the forgiveness of God, and you'd like to make your confession of who Christ is and that you believe He can forgive your sins away, forgive your sins, and you can be baptized into Him. Do that tonight. Come forward and let it be known. If we can assist you in any other way, please let us know as we stand.
I travel down.